Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. And we're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Morning, studio!
Morning!
Thank you. Welcome to Tuesday's show. Morgan number two was telling me about something when I walked in. What's this edible arrangement thing they're doing?
So they have massive, like, $2,000 fruit bouquets for summer parties.
Like a $2,000 edible arrangement. Is there a bigger waste of money?
No.
A normal edible arrangement? You eat the grapes, and only if the chocolate pieces are on there? You never see a fully eaten edible arrangement.
No, that's correct.
And then you can't put it anywhere. It doesn't fit in the refrigerator. You have to take it apart.
Yeah,
and
put them in Tupperware.
Then it's just a bunch of chopped up fruit you paid extra for. I'm not a big edible arrangement guy.
Well, a lot of people are. That guy's rolling.
Yeah.
I see him get delivered
all the time.
Yeah. I listened to how he built the company. He was on How I Built This, and I was like, dang, why didn't I think of that? So, but it was a lot of work.
For $2,000, what's the story?
It's 3 feet tall and can serve more than 200 people. It has cantaloupe, grapes, honeydew, orange apples, and half of it's dipped in chocolate, half of it's normal, but it's massive.
That's pretty. If I was an event planner and I had a budget for an event or something, I'd be like, well, that would look lovely.
I would get a photo booth. Because at least you can like those pictures and keep them.
But people got to eat.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for waking up
basically
with us.
Basically an edible tree.
If you're podcasting with us, thanks for listening to the show whenever you do. Appreciate that a whole bunch. On this day in country music, one of my favorite segments, and I think it's why I've been given the nickname
Country Music's Youngest Historian.
Yeah, thank you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On this day in
country music.
This one's fun because we know it's true. We've talked to him about it. Today in 1996, 23 years ago, Garth Brooks signed autographs for 23 hours straight.
That's right.
Yeah.
She had a need to feel the thunder.
Garth said he wanted to make sure that every fan that was in line got the opportunity to meet him. According to Nashville legend, he didn't take a break to eat or sleep. The marathon session happened at Fanfare in Nashville, which is now CMA Fest, which just happened over the weekend. And Garth talked about it with us on the air when I asked him about it. He said, try to remember, there was nobody in that line that wasn't there for 23 hours, too. And he signed for 23 hours. That's awesome. Garth Brooks is the greatest, man.
The greatest.
Mama's in the graveyard, Papa's in the field.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
Lunchbox, it was your 20th high school anniversary?
Yeah, our reunion was on Saturday night. 20 years, we've been out of high school.
So, for him it was, I want to go back and be in style. And on the show, we called to see how much it was to rent a Lamborghini because he wanted to drive up in style. And it was thousands of dollars to rent a Lamborghini, which was nuts. And then he said, okay, what other fancy car can I get? He said, what about a Tesla? And I'm close friends with Brooklyn Decker. And she was like, he can borrow mine. And Lunch was like, that's cool, but can I say it's yours? She's like, no. So then you didn't take that car either?
No, didn't take a Tesla.
Okay, so what ended up happening?
So I was doing some research, and then someone reached out to me, and they wanted to be my driver for the evening and said, you know, I can drive you, pull up, and we can make a scene. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? This is great, because the high school reunion rented out a patio on the lake of a restaurant, so there's a DJ, so everybody's outside. I'm going to pull up in style, and everybody's going to be like, Lunchbox is here! And so that's what I did.
So who was the person?
My dad.
Oh, your dad drove you?
Yeah,
what?
So
oh my gosh.
He called me up. My dad called me. He's like, look, you know, like I used to take you in high school and middle school, how about I drive you to the 20-year reunion, and it can be like a trip down memory lane. And so in his work van that has one seat, so my wife sat in the front seat, and I sat on a 5-gallon paint bucket in the back of the white van, and when I pulled up, my wife got out, my dad came around and opened the sliding door on the white van where there's no window, and I popped out the side. What up?
Huh. Did people notice when you arrived?
But that's the exact opposite of what you wanted.
Yeah, so my plan didn't really work. That's the problem. It really was a letdown. Like, I wanted it to be awesome, but I rode in my dad's white van and I sat on a paint bucket.
I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I think that should have been the plan originally.
Nostalgic.
Yeah, but like you wanted to show off and show all this money that you didn't have and act like you did have it.
I know, and that's why as I was sitting on the paint bucket on the way to the reunion, I was just like, man, I'm going to look like I'm just like in high school again. Like I haven't done anything with my life, but hey, that's just the way the cookie crumbled. I couldn't come through with a huge car. No one came through for me. No one had my back, and it was a letdown.
But yeah, people had your back. You could have actually just paid and rented a nice car. You always want everything given to you.
Well, yeah, because if that's the whole point. When you're a celebrity, you're supposed to be given stuff.
You think you're a celebrity?
Absolutely.
I mean, got news for you. This is not a celebrity show.
Yeah.
Yeah, do people ask for our autographs? Yeah, they do. Do they want pictures with us? Yeah, they do.
Oh, so speaking of, I mean, all the people that you went to school with, did they ask for selfies and autographs and stuff?
Let me tell you, I got a lot of people coming to me like, look, we got to take a picture. My kids made me promise that I would get a picture with you because they're such huge fans. And I was like, okay, you know. So I did a lot of that, taking pictures for kids.
What list would you say you are as a celebrity? Because, you know, A-list would be...
Right.
Ryan Gosling, Brad Pitt, yeah. Angelina Jolie. That's A-list. What list would you say you fall on, Lunchbox?
C+.
Plus?
Yeah, like I'm top of the C's.
And who else would be in the C's in your mind?
Oh, I mean, no, because I would say...
Your peers. Who are your peers in your class of celebrity?
Like Tara Reid.
Sharknado.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Like Ian Ziering, people like that. Like they had their moment. They're kind of falling from
basically,
grace.
Basically, it's all the cast of Sharknado. He listed two people in Sharknado. Go ahead.
Like Brian Austin Green. He was on 90210, so he's kind of not around anymore. But he's still in the spotlight because he's married to that hot actress. What's her name? Jessica Alba.
No.
No, it's Justin Timberlake. I mean, that's not Justin Timberlake.
He's married to the girl from Transformers.
Oh, yeah, she's so hot.
Oh, Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah. Are they still together?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so I would say C+.
Okay, well, for everybody else listening out there.
Like, who else are some C-plusters? You guys got to help me out.
Well, some of those people might be, but you're not.
You're not. We're not.
We're not even on the alphabet.
We're dopey radio people.
Bobby, you're higher than a C+. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not on your level, but I am a C+, and I'm rising. These people are on the way down, so they've been up on the A-list, and now they're going down to the F-list.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm glad your high school reunion went well. Did you party pretty hard or no?
Oh, man, we tore it up. I was a little disappointed in my high school class because, like, the restaurant area, it closes at a certain time. Like, all right, after party at the hotel bar, and there's this hotel. And so we go, 7 people showed up. I mean, how old are, 20-year reunion, you got to go hard, people, and only 7. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, we'll be there. So we show up ready to go. And Forrest and I were just left there with 5 other people.
Well, I'm glad it went well. I'm sorry you didn't get your dream car that you wanted to drive up and have everybody look at you.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing, but I got to say thanks to my dad for giving me the ride. You know, he didn't make me pay gas money.
There you go. The Red Cross needs blood donations. They're missing blood types A, B, and O. You can make an appointment. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Find the one nearest you, and that would be awesome.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big 3 stories.
Raymundo, what you got?
In sports, the Golden State Warriors beat the Toronto Raptors 106-105. The Raptors still lead the series 3-2. In New York City, a pilot died after his helicopter nosedived and landed on top of a building in Manhattan. Authorities are still investigating.
Bobby Bone, come on. Raymundo is our audio producer, and I wouldn't say he's creepy. You don't meet him and think creepy, right?
No, not at all.
Sometimes he does things that are questionable. For example, about a year ago, he started working out at a playground, which I don't think is crazy if you go work out at a park.
But it was a playground.
It was a playground where kids are, like, playing all the time. And he's, like, doing curls around 6 years old. He's got a bunch of weights out there. Yeah, you're on the monkey bars getting a full pull-up workout.
Really a good body workout. Sucks that it's kids' toys.
Yeah. So people started to go that Ray's a creepster. And there was this whole song that came out. So but this one I think it makes me laugh because tell him what you're doing now.
Well, so at the gym, I was just working out, doing some biceps and stuff like that, and I was noticing the guys right around me had really good form. So they were doing squats. I don't even know how to do a perfect squat. They're doing some trap work, and I was like, what if I just film these guys? Everybody has their phones out at the gym. Everybody's doing selfies now, so it's not even weird to have your phone. So I just, one dude, a big old dude, was working out next to me, and I filmed him. And then the next day, there was a guy doing some bicep stuff, and I was like, I should just film that dude too. And so far nobody's caught me, but yeah, I filmed some guys at the gym and then I memorized their motions.
I mean, that
and
is
instead of having a trainer, and instead that's how I learn stuff usually.
Why don't you just get on YouTube? So you don't get your butt kicked.
Right, but it's also because I'm right there at the gym, and then I can just watch it on my phone as I'm doing it. The YouTube thing is like, I don't know, but I film what I want to see. So boom, I'm seeing his biceps. Perfect, I see that. It's not like I'm.
You want to film the technique you like?
And it they're in a public place. Why can you not film the guys? As
why are you getting credit? We don't care what you
you're
do.
You're getting defensive. Fine.
We're not going to sign a permission slip for you to do this.
And it's like, I'm not even filming chicks. I'm filming dudes. What's creepy about that?
Is it creepy that Raymundo films other dudes working out in the gym? Amy.
Yes.
It is, right?
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Lunchbox, is it creepy Raymundo films dudes?
Absolutely. How weird are you? And you say, it's not creepy? Like, what is not creepy about it? Show me one thing that is not creepy about filming random dudes in the gym.
Well, the time it did get creepy, I was filming a guy doing his pull-ups, and it ended up being a lot more butt than anything else. And so then I was like, all right, I basically just filmed this guy's butt. That, delete. But, I mean, you learn from it, and, hey, I'm getting bigger and better, so I don't even care.
You're going to get beat up, though, if somebody sees you doing it.
What are you trying to learn how to do?
Yeah, if they confiscate your phone.
Because all you got to do is go to YouTube. I guarantee you there's videos on how to do everything you want to learn.
I know, but that's a lot of scrolling. And listen, when I see something I like in the gym, I film it.
When I see something I like. And you don't film girls?
I don't film any chicks. My girl would kill me. Yeah, she told me.
She's cool with the guys, though, right?
But, okay. One, is she cool with the guys?
Yeah, she does. Because I tell her. It helps me out.
And two, would you film girls if your girlfriend wasn't there?
If I wasn't in a relationship, maybe I'd take a picture and send it to my buddy and say, hottie alert.
Oh, okay. My gosh.
There he is.
Ray is a creepster. Ray is
thank you, Raymundo.
Yeah. A creepster. It's a Bobby Bones show.
These are all kids' riddles. In a game that we call
Riddle Me This.
Write your answers down, folks. F3 riddles.
Yes.
Let's see how many you can get.
Okay.
Play along in your car, and the winner gets to go Riddle Me This.
Such a great prize.
Otherwise, you don't get to say it. Only I do.
Correct.
Riddle number one. What runs around a house but doesn't move? What runs around a house but doesn't move? Riddle me this.
I'm in.
It runs around it?
Oh, boy.
But doesn't move.
I'm in for the win.
I'm in.
Amy.
Trim.
Excuse me?
Trim.
Don't you said that.
Hey, Craig.
What do you think I said?
No, that's it. Lunchbox?
I put a fence.
A fence.
Oh, Eddie? That's it.
I did dishwasher.
Well, one of you are right.
That's me.
It's a fence.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Hey, guys, what y'all think I said?
I don't know what they thought you said. I don't know. I don't get it.
All right. Next up in the podcast.
Maybe I'm missing something.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right. Next up. What is put on a table and is cut but is never eaten? What is put on a table and is cut but is never eaten?
What is put
on a table and is cut?
What is put on a table and is cut but is never eaten?
I'm in.
What in the
world?
Oh.
What?
I'm in.
It's put on the table and it's cut, but it's never eaten.
Riddle me this.
It's put on a table and it's cut. Okay.
You ready? Good.
Yeah, man.
All right. Let's go over to Amy. Amy.
A knife.
A knife. Oh. Lunchbox.
Tablecloth.
Eddie.
The wood.
No, cards. You cut the cards.
Dang it, cut the cards on the table.
Any cards.
Playing cards.
Any cards.
Cut the deck.
Oh.
That's right. All right.
These are hard.
These are kids' riddles.
That was a tough one.
Ready. You are my brother, but I'm not your brother. Who am I?
Huh?
You are my brother, but I'm not your brother. Who am I? You are my brother, but I am not your brother. Who am I? Riddle me this.
You're my brother, but I'm not.
I'm writing it out.
I'm in.
Your brother.
I'm in.
Your brother. I'm not your brother. Hold on. I have it written down here.
What is it?
All right. I'm not your brother. No, I'm your brother, but not.
5 seconds.
You're not my brother.
All right, time.
I'm in for the win.
Lunchbox, what do you have?
Oh, that's my sister.
Amy?
Sister.
So stupid.
What'd you put?
I said a priest.
Man. First thing that came to my mind was Jesus, don't worry.
Okay.
He wins again. The guy
I was like, father, son.
This guy's game. This
he's
is the one
so
game
good.
That you just bet on him every time because he's going to do it. Our winner of Riddle Me This. Give it up for Lunchbox, everybody. All right.
Man, that feels good.
Have at it, my friend.
Oh, guys, that's a game we call Riddle Me This.
Yeah.
That's gross.
What'd you say, Eddie?
He spit everywhere.
That's okay. He won. He won. He can spit everywhere he wants.
That's right.
That's what it's all about right there.
Bobby Bones Show.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
This guy named Lemuel Buster, a 76-year-old veteran and grandfather, works as a referee for a bunch of volleyball. He's been doing it for a long time. 10 teams all got together because they saw his car broke down and couldn't be repaired, and they bought him a car.
Oh, wow.
All the teams, they chipped in and bought him a car so he could get to games.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy? It's just people going, man, what can we do to help out in doing it? The parents heard about it, so they were like, hey, kids, you guys want to raise some money? And they did, and they did all kinds of stuff, and now he gets to games, now he gets to the grocery store, now he gets all that.
And what a good life lesson for the kids, too, like, growing up. Like, that'll stick with them, and, like, later in life, like, oh, it feels good to help people.
That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Benton, Arkansas. A 32-year-old man broke into two cars sitting in a driveway, and then he walked up to the house. He was going to break in. He had second thoughts, and he left. He gets home, and he realizes, man, I think I dropped my dentures in their yard. So he sends him a Facebook message that says, hey, guys, I was walking through your yard, and I think I dropped my dentures. Police looked at the video from the neighbor's camera, saw him breaking into the cars, and he was arrested.
That's funny. What a bonehead. There you go.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Bobby Bone, come on.
You know who I saw this weekend?
Who?
Was Hannah B., the Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah. Where you say she's, like, so pretty.
She's very pretty, yeah. She's super,
like,
nice.
So, so pretty.
And I was like, hey, when you come to CMA Fest, come see me, and we'll do something for the show. So she came back, and we talked. And for me, I just want to know how hard it was to keep things secret. Because you got to finish that show and then not tell anybody.
Right.
Or play. Nothing. So this is me and Hannah B. backstage at CMA Fest.
Get some Bobby Bones on.
Bobby Bones.
All right, so we're backstage at CMA Fest right now. And Hannah from The Bachelorette's here. What do they call you? Alabama?
Hannah B.
I only know you by your name. Hannah B., Alabama Hannah.
Whatever you want to call me.
So whenever I think about that show, and I've been open with my audience that I had just some talks with ABC about The Bachelor. And I think that I would be terrible at it because I couldn't keep it secret after it was over.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happened, I think it would be tough to just hold secret and not show at all, like, what has happened. How tough is that? Good or bad, it's got to be hard to do.
It is hard because you kind of isolate yourself because you want to tell everybody about what you've been doing for, I don't know, the last 4 months of your life. But you also, like, want to keep the integrity of the show and what you've been doing the last 4 months of your life. And I think it, because I've been going and going so much, it's made it a little bit easier for me because I'm with the people I've been doing the last 4 months with. And so they know what's happened. And so that makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, it is tough because I want to go back to the people that I've done life with and be like, oh my gosh, girl, this is what's been happening. And but I also
let know, though. Who knows?
Well, like my family knows.
Okay.
And
do they have to sign NDAs? Your family, when you tell them, or is just you just trust with your heart?
My parents are scared of me too, and so I think they definitely had to sign something, but they're also scared of me. I'm a beast.
I follow you on Instagram, so I see you traveling around all the time.
Uh huh.
Did your face start from having to smile so much with all the interviews?
I've always had a resting smile face. You know how people have RBFs, I have a resting smile face. So I guess the Lord knew I was going to have to do this at some point. So that part's not hard. I think it's the when you're at the airport at 2 a.m. and like you've been, I had an 11-hour like flight day. Like that's how long it takes me from Alabama to LA. And people are like, hey, I know like you don't want to do this, but they already had the selfie in my face. Like, so can we take a picture? I'm like, yeah, sure. And they've already taken the picture and ran off. Like, yeah, bye. That's hard.
Bobby Bones Show.
Hey, so this is me with the Bachelorette, Hannah B. We were backstage at CMA Fest talking, and so we had a couple microphones, and I wanted to ask her what it's like to cut people off of that show, because she was cut from the show, so she knows what it feels like. And so here we go. This is me and Hannah B, the Bachelorette.
Check.
Bobby Bones Show.
So what when you get cut at the end of The Bachelor,
uh-huh.
Now that you know what that's like to get cut, do you feel like you're a little more empathetic when you cut people?
It's hard. I mean, regardless, like the way that I felt about Colton is definitely different than I felt about some of the men here. Like I did not like love him and really care for him the way that like I thought I did, I think, at that point. But it still hurt really bad because you invest everything into like those few months into that relationship and want it to work so bad. And I was hurt for a while. And so I know that there are men that I had to send home that invested everything just like I did and that I broke their hearts. And that's really hard to do. But ultimately, every time I ended a relationship, I knew that it was not just good for me, but for both of us, because if I couldn't give them completely my heart, then that's not fair for them. And I made it okay. And, you know, they deserve somebody to give them their full heart. And I should be able to give my full heart to somebody. So it'll all work out.
Well, let's talk about music real quick.
Yeah.
The last time we were together, you said, I love country music.
I love country music.
And you're from Alabama. Like, who do you love?
Well, like, I love the whole, like, I love Kacey Musgraves' whole
The Golden
album.
Hour?
Yeah. I love that album.
Growing up, who was your favorite? Turn on the radio.
Probably Tim McGraw, Garth Brooks, George Strait. Like, that's my stuff. I love Keith Urban.
He'll be around tonight, too. Keith will be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's super pretty.
I've heard he's so nice.
He's nice and pretty. Did I mention he's pretty? Because he's super pretty.
Super pretty?
Yeah, super
well,
pretty.
I mean, if he's married to Nicole Kidman, he's got to be pretty.
And he's nice.
Oh, my God. And Big Little Lies comes out.
Wouldn't that
I
be
love
weird?
Him.
I love that show, but like Nicole Kidman like gets down with that the other dude.
Yeah,
that'd be tough to watch if your wife's like an actress. Like, cause they go hard.
Well, you know what's weird is like, wouldn't it be weird to watch if like you're like you have like 30 boyfriends and then like you might like be dating somebody after the show, like, and then they have to watch you making out with.
But the hardest you make out on ABC is only like PG-10.
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies. It's like somebody's having a baby right then. Like they're probably getting pregnant.
Yeah.
If that's real life.
Yeah, they're doing
a baby in that belly when they're done.
I don't know. Have you watched me on my show? I'm just kidding.
Listen, I'm gonna let you go. Watch The Bachelorette, and we will see what happens. I have no idea what happens.
I'm not going to tell you.
I know. All right. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
So last night, once we got to New York, Tim McGraw had said, hey, you should come to my book tour show. I don't know what that meant, a book tour show. And so I get here and I go over to the Beacon Theater, which I've never been to in New York. And I go over and it's him and John Meacham, who is a writer who writes a ton of presidential biographies, big historian. And I go back and I say hi to Faith before, and I say hi to Tim McGraw before. And he's like, man, this is going to be pretty cool. And I said, I believe you. So I walk out and I sit. It's amazing. They're only doing 6 shows, and he really doesn't sing his songs. What they do is they sit there because he's got a new book out. They have a book out together. And they tell the story of America, and then they play the songs that accompany that from like the 1600s.
Oh, wow.
The Civil War. At one point, Tim McGraw gets up and it's, you know, 1776-ish, and he gets on the microphone, and he sings the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's amazing. And so you can turn it up. And he's got his band with him, and they're doing this song, and people are like going, wow, should we stand up? Because in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, you don't have to stand up.
Right, now.
And so some people do, some people don't, and we're all going, wow, this is going to get pretty emotional. And so then a little later on, he goes, he plays Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
Yeah.
And he's like, what people don't realize about this song, this is not about being proud to be born in the USA. This whole song was written about, you know, for the working man. Like, it's tough. He said it, but because Bruce is on the front of that album, he's got an American flag, people think Born in the USA is this song like, woo, we're born in the USA. It's not actually. Eddie, you knew that too, right?
Yeah. You talked about this.
That Born in the USA is not like, hey, America, we rule. It's like, hey, we got some stuff to work on.
Oh, wow.
But people have adopted it as, you know, an American song. And he gets up and he sings some Bruce Springsteen, sings a song. And then he goes and starts singing God Bless the USA from Lee Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good. And he's just crushing it. And people stand up for this one, too. And so he's doing this song. And like a little bit, on this one, I get a little bit of chill bumps. And then he starts telling a story about being on an airplane. Because Tim McGraw is a big supporter of the troops, too. And he's going, well, he said, I was on an airplane. I was reading, I believe it was a Time magazine article. And the article was called, If You're Reading This. And that's how a lot of the letters started, from people that were killed in combat, because they would put these letters in their pocket, so if anything happened to them, their buddies would. He goes, and I could barely get through the whole article. And it was letters that had come home. And if you're reading this. And so he gets up and this is an old Tim McGraw song. And he gets up and he starts singing it. Listen, I didn't see everybody's eyes, but they were all crying. And I started to get all a little weepy and cry. And I went home last night and listened to it again, because it's an old Tim McGraw song. And it was so good. And the whole thing was him. And I think I'm just going to play it now.
Oh, yeah, I'm curious.
And I hope our listeners will listen to the song. And so the inspiration from this song was from Tim McGraw on an airplane. And the article was about soldiers who had letters in their pockets. They were killed in war. Their buddies or whomever found them pulled the letters out and sent it back to their mom, or sent it back to their wives.
Yeah.
And he played this song, and it was so moving. This is some old school Tim McGraw, but he wrote this, and he talks about how he felt like he was just a vessel for this song. He was like, we had some inspiration. You know, he didn't serve, but he's like, for some reason, we were able to put this song out. And he was like, it means almost more to me than any song I've ever done. So here's Tim McGraw, If You're Reading This. And listen to this and listen to the words. And now that you know the story about it, I do think it'll mean a lot more.
If you're reading this, my mama's sitting there. Looks like I only got a one-way ticket over here.
They played that, and I was like, man, that's Tim McGraw, If You're Reading This. And I went to a theater show last night with him as he's doing book promotion. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And when he told the story about him writing it, oh, that's tough. That's tough. So, let me mention this while I can, because I'm going to mention this a few times. Because I had a note saying that right now the Red Cross is looking for some blood, meaning they're short on A, B, and O. And if you look at our logo, by the way, all the B's and O's are missing from our show logo today. So if you can donate A, B, or O, they would love it. We would love it. Every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood, but only about 3% of the population donates. So if you go donate, take a picture and tag us on social media with the hashtag missing types. But just trying to get some blood donors out there. And we'll talk about that. But I got that note this morning. I know how important blood is, and I wanted to share that with you guys.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So there's a new trend this summer called sunburn tattoos.
I saw this.
Basically, you put a stencil of a design on your skin, and then you go outside in the sun, and when you're sunburned, the pale spot where, you know, the stencil stands out, like you got a star or a heart or whatever. So the company that's selling the sunburn tattoos says to put sunscreen on before you do it.
Of course.
Then that defeats the whole purpose of having the sunburn look. But
that's like cigarette companies going, don't smoke. Hey, but buy our cigarettes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do this, yes. yes, wear sunscreen, and maybe it'll take longer, but you'll at least have more tan skin instead of burned skin.
You know, sometimes we do like to watch idiots, mm-hmm. right? It's a fun thing to watch. By the way, don't do this, but there's one guy who did Batman on his chest. I laughed out loud.
Oh, of a sunburn tattoo?
Yeah.
Oh.
His whole chest is sunburned except for the part, the Batman sticker. What I would compare it to is back in the day, I mean, it's been 15 years since I would get in a tanning bed.
Oh my gosh.
And you would put
yeah.
on the little stickers, a little mm-hmm. bunny, and you'd be like, look how tan I am.
I know. I did the same thing too. Oh, I wish I could rewind and have never done a tanning bed in
I
my
know.
Life.
Me too.
But you know, Bobby, you get spray tans. They can give you little bunnies for your spray tan.
I'm bunnied out, to be honest with you. All right, what else?
Okay, so a company is creating a new line of CPR dummies, but this time with female boobs, because here's the deal. Studies found that people are less likely to perform CPR on a woman because they're uncomfortable about touching her in the process. So it'll be good to train on dummies so you know how to like do it, maneuver around, and not feel like you're being like, oh.
So these are dummies with real life female body parts.
Yes. Like it's supposed to be, it's like major educational and like it's nothing weird, but I didn't even think of that as a concern, because you would think like a life is a life. If you got to do CPR, you got to keep them alive.
I guess my only question would be, is she single?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, hey, order me two. Hey, sure. Raymundo, can you give me a couple of those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. What was I watching? Oh, I started watching some of Black Mirror or mm-hmm. something. And
new season or old stuff?
I guess it's new.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus is on the cover, but I haven't seen her in an episode yet. But there was like all this like futuristic weird stuff happening, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Bobby's girlfriend is gonna be in his brain in the future, and this is gonna be weird.
I know.
But you're gonna tell us all about it.
I'm not even arguing with you about it. Yep. What's
I
next, Amy?
So NASA is opening up the International Space Station to tourists. You'll be able to go there starting next year. For $35,000 a night, you can stay there. But, I mean, if that sounds like, oh, okay, $35,000, it's going to cost you millions just to get to the space station. So you clearly have to be like Bill Gates or something to go do this.
Listen, I ain't going to Mexico, much less the moon.
But you are going to Mexico for a wedding.
Yeah, still, I know I'm supposed to. I'm still scared.
Date yet
no,
that?
I have no date for that. But it's not till November. And secondly, we have to land and drive an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Mexico like that. I don't like that. Bobby's scared. But I have to drive an hour, and then they're probably like the Taliban's going to get me.
Mm-hmm. Well, different part of the world, but yeah.
Oh.
Maybe the cartel.
Okay, whatever. I bet you they put a super group together, like the High Woman, and it's like the Taliban and cartel, and they come get me. They're probably making plans right now.
Yeah.
All right.
I would quit talking about it.
Okay. Stop talking about it, please.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
All right, cool.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Here are your biggest songs in country music this week. And number three, a song called Rumor from Lee Bryce.
There's a rumor going round about me and you. Stirring up our little...
At number two, Amy's jam, still hanging in there. Whiskey Glasses from Morgan Wallen.
Whiskey glasses, cause I don't wanna see the truth. She's probably making out on a...
And at number one, Kelsey Ballerini, Miss Me More. Here you go.
I thought I'd miss you. I thought it hurt me. Thought I'd miss you. I thought I'd miss you. But I miss me more.
There you go. That's awesome. Congrats to Kelsey Ballerini.
I'm feeling that Lee Bryce song right now, too.
I'm not yet.
Oh, it's there. It just hit me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've heard it enough.
Yeah.
I'm not. That one I'm not feeling yet, but I'm still feeling the Morgan Wallen song.
Oh, yeah.
After 97 weeks, I'm like, mm-hmm. turn it up.
Right.
Love that one. Let me say this real quick, because here's the whole thing. You know, we were told this morning, hey, would you guys mind mentioning about people that need different kind of blood types? The Red Cross needs blood donations. They're missing blood types A, B, and O. You can make an appointment by giving blood using the Red Cross Blood Donor app or visiting redcrossblood.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS. So many people need blood, and they definitely could use your help. So, yeah, that's the deal. And when they said that this morning, I was like, I would love to mention it. I'll mention it more times today, too. But the Red Cross does need blood donations. And again, redcrossblood.org or 1-800-RED-CROSS. So... do I have time to do an extra Tell Me Something Good, Raymundo?
Yeah.
I have a bonus one. All right, here we go. Bonus Tell Me Something Good.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
We'll get to the other one in a second, but because of the blood needed, a woman has discovered that her boyfriend was the person who gave her blood when she was 11 years ago, when she was needing blood and was dying.
No way.
Mm-hmm. A woman named Lynn nearly died when she was involved in a serious car crash over a decade ago. She was rushed to the hospital, received a life-saving blood transfusion. She had not met her current boyfriend, Lee, until years later. They began talking about the accident and realized they were the same blood type. And then he donated around the time of her accident. The hospital confirmed it was, in fact, Lee's blood they used to save her.
Wow.
Come on.
I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
You just never know who you're going to be helping if that's the case. So, yeah, give that blood. Let me also mention this, that if I hit 1 million Instagram followers today, I'm close, I'll reveal what TV show that I'm going on.
Yep.
As a celebratory reveal on my Instagram Live. So right now, I'm at 993,000.
Okay.
And I'll stop talking about it once I hit 1 million. I'm so OCD about numbers and all parts of my life.
I need it to look.
And I can't stop looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'll tag you in a few things.
Oh, good.
Just kidding.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That probably won't help much, but you never know.
Every little bit helps.
Hey, like, yeah, I might have one follower that doesn't follow you, maybe. Yeah.
How was last night?
I mean, fine.
Did you just go to the hotel room and chill?
Yeah, totally.
Did you go to bed early?
Yeah, I went to the gym and walked a little bit because we were stuck on the airplane for so long. And then, yeah, just went to bed, watched Black Mirror. Into bed.
Yeah.
Black Mirror was amazing. What about you?
Went to a bunch of stuff. Went to the Tim McGraw book signing. It wasn't a book signing, just a book show. That's it. Ate food. It was all good.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So an entire elementary school in Maine learned sign language to welcome a deaf student that was coming
goodness.
To the
wow.
school.
Are you going to make me cry in one sentence?
Yes, all the teachers. So shout out Dayton Consolidated School because they probably made this like new kindergartner feel so special. It's a 6-year-old girl. And I mean, I just can't even believe it. I love it so much. Do y'all know sign language? You even know? I know.
And I spell the name B-O-B-B-Y.
Mm-hmm. I know the alphabet, but that's it.
I love you. Is that I love you?
Yeah. This means you just drove past me and I didn't like it.
You're making me mad.
Yeah, I know. That's a whole finger thing.
Peanut
yeah.
butter. Yeah. But that's about it. But I just think that's so special. Like if you can do one thing to make a student feel that welcome, like, whoever had this idea.
That's cool.
Good to you.
Good to you. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bones Show.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
John Party sent Thomas Rhett a link to his new music, but Thomas never responded.
I sent him the Dropbox link to Heart Medication. He never responded. I asked him, you been listening to the record? He goes, every day. And I was like, cool. He's like, you like it? He said, I love it. And that was it. I was like, all right, yeah. Because it was like that one text message, like, well, I guess you didn't like the record.
That's funny. If I send something and somebody doesn't respond, I think they hated it and just didn't want to respond.
Right.
Me, I go, because I'll get things from people. So what do you think about this? I'm like, wow, that's brave. I'll say that sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because they want a response. Mm-hmm. And what the heck does brave mean? So I'm like, yeah, man, that's brave. Yeah, what else?
Dolly Parton has never ridden any of the rides at her Dollywood theme park. And she says it's a combination of being afraid, motion sickness, and she's worried that her wig will fly off.
Yeah. I saw her going, the only way I want my hair messed up, if it's by a good-looking man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave the rides to everybody else. All right, what else?
And then Kelsea Ballerini has a new song out called Better Luck Next Time, and you'll hear it tonight on NBC's Songland TV show. Here's a clip.
Got myself together, get out of my mind. Now all that I can say is, better luck next time.
Yeah, congrats to Kelsea, too. Number one song with Miss Me More, which is it's a big day, big week for her. All right, Morgan number 2, that's it?
Yep, I'm Morgan number 2. That's the skinny.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. We're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Hey, so as I mentioned earlier, I got a note from the Red Cross saying, hey, they need blood donations. So just putting this out there, they're missing types A, B, and O, and you never know how important your blood donation will be until it's you who needs blood, you know? That's really
yeah,
the thing.
True.
So you can make an appointment by giving blood to Red Cross Blood. And so just go to 1-800-RED-CROSS, you call that, or Red Cross, can't speak, redcrossblood.org. That's a hard thing to say, though. I didn't talk to their PR team. Say it.
Well, at redcrossblood.org.
See, that's tough for you.
It is. Yeah. You have to say it slow.
Yeah, but give a, if you can, like all seriousness, if you can donate A, B, or O, that would be awesome because they need that blood. And you're going, you know, maybe next time. But if it's you who's been in a car accident or if it's you who needs blood after a surgery, then you're like, oh, I wish people would have donated.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say. Moving on over to Amy with the joke. Amy, what's happening? Here we go.
The Morning Corny.
What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
What's the difference between a hippo and a Zippo?
One is very heavy and the other is a little lighter.
Get it, Zippo lighter. There you go. There you go. Nice.
That was the Morning Corny.
Do we know why Justin Bieber called out Tom Cruise on Twitter? I know he said, hey, I want to have an MMA fight with you. Is that real beef or is he being funny? Because he puts his tweet up and he's like, hey, Tom Cruise, in the ring, me and you, let's get a fight. And then he tags Dana White, who's the president of the UFC.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it.
Yeah, I didn't know. And then he's like, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but wasn't he like, you'll never live this down if you don't respond,
yes.
Tom Cruise?
He says, Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you'll never live it down.
Mm-hmm. I actually thought Tom could just ignore this and it would go away.
Well, no, it's Justin Bieber. He also did misspelled your.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
I know. And I was thinking if I would like to call someone out now. But the thing is, you have to call someone out that you'd win against.
I mean, honestly, but has Justin Bieber seen Mission Impossible? Because Tom Cruise might win.
True, but he's older.
True.
Bieber's kind of ripped.
So who would you call out?
Okay. I'm going to call someone out now. I would like to challenge, and I'm for real, in the ring. You guys think I'm playing? I would like to challenge in a one-on-one bout, Mano a Mano, Yodel Boy.
Okay.
Mason Ramsey.
Too young.
What?
Too young.
Our difference in age group is probably like theirs.
I know, but he's still a kid.
Oh, but...
Justin Bieber's an adult now.
Yeah, but I'd win that one.
You need like an adult kid.
How old is he? 12? Perfect.
He's 12.
Perfect. Sign me up. Hey, Dana White, put that one on.
And Yodel Boy, if you don't respond.
You'll
never live this down.
You'll never live this down.
Yep.
Boom. What up, Yodel Boy?
You showed him.
I'd still probably lose.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Listen to this. And I always see repo guys and tow truck guys. And I'm always like, man, that's a dangerous job. Because you got to go and get somebody's car or truck back because they haven't paid their bank payments. That's your job. And if they come out, they're going to be ticked. And so that's why they got to hook it up so fast.
Yeah, because they might come out with a gun or something.
And sometimes I see them doing it in the daytime, and I'm like, ooh, that's brave. Here, listen to this. So this repo guy is in New York, and he repoed this car. It was a Maxima. And so this Nissan Maxima was wanted by the bank because of 3 missed payments. So he hooks up the car, which was parked out in front of a police precinct. And he's about to walk into the station house to say, hey, I just towed this car. And out popped a NYPD police officer who recognized the car and was like, oh, no, that's my car. And so the guy's like, hey, listen, you owe 3 payments on it. It's now on the truck. The bank, it's now, since it's on the truck, it's the bank's car. And so they surrounded him, the tow truck driver. I know. And then they accused him of auto theft.
What?
Arrested him for possession of stolen property, which is a felony. The felony charge has been dropped because he was just doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Right.
He still hasn't gotten his tow truck back. And he's thinking about suing the NYPD. Like, that to me sounds like they should... You didn't pay the payments on the car. What do you expect is going
to
happen?
I know. You can't just, like, call in your boys because you have authority to arrest people.
I know. But if it were me, I probably would do that, too.
I know. You'd be like...
Get you in the slammer. You're going to jail for life. Give my car back. Anyway, I saw that today. And I do just see those guys, even, let's say not repo guys, but just tow truck drivers and they're towing cars. At any time somebody come out and want to fight them or shoot them.
Oh, for sure.
I've been towed, though, and I wanted to fight them, but I got beat up. Unless it was Mason Ramsey. And then I would have been like, all right, Mason Ramsey, you tow truck driver, I challenge you to a fight. Who else could I beat up in country music? Not many, though, huh?
I was trying to think of who else you should challenge.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just Yodel Boy. Darius Rucker and Tom Hanks are beefing.
Yeah, so all I've seen is, like, I've just read this, so I don't know his tone.
Well, I don't either, but Darius Rucker says, beep, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Like, was he, did he have his cute little Darius laugh after he said it, or was he, like, serious?
Well, Tom was one of the producers of that CNN docuseries, The 90s.
So good.
Which was great. And they made no mention of Cracked Rearview by Hootie and the Blowfish, which, by the way, was the number one selling album in 1995. Sold 7 million albums in just that year. It's one of the top 10 selling albums of the 90s. And he's like, how do you do a series in the 90s and not put Hootie? Because he thinks Hootie's being erased from history.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've become not cool in his mind. But by the way, I'm going to Hootie shows. At least two this summer. So the profile by the New York Times said it really hit home when he watched it and was like, wait, how do we not get mentioned? Like, this is my whole life and we broke records with this. Who are you picking? Whose side, Darius or Tom Hanks?
Oh, I mean, I'm on Darius's side and I feel like Tom will apologize and it was just an oversight, right?
I don't know.
Tom Hanks doesn't like Hootie.
Well, all I'm saying is if Darius and Tom Hanks are fighting, I'm so Team Darius.
Yeah.
I refuse to watch Forrest Gump until this is done.
Okay.
I'm out.
And any other Tom Hanks movie?
Any Tom Hanks, I'm out.
Okay.
Bosom Buddies, I will not be watching that.
Mm-hmm.
I will only be here.
Got
Toy
it.
Story 4,
ooh.
I'm not watching that, even though I haven't seen 1, 2, or 3. But I'm not watching that until this gets resolved. I did see Darius and was like, dude, I'm coming to some of the shows. And he was like, yeah. He said, where are you coming? I said, I don't know yet. But I said, will you introduce me to Ed from Bare Naked Ladies?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ha, 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 yeah. I love that guy.
He has the best laugh.
The Bobby Bones Show.
I was out late last night. I went to Tim McGraw's book tour.
Yeah.
And I'm in New York. Amy's in New York. We have some meetings today with the company. But now he was doing his first one. It was amazing, by the way. I loved it. And so I didn't get home until close to 12 o'clock.
Wow, midnight.
That's what 12 o'clock is.
I know.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was just clarifying.
And so I get online and I see someone say, hey, did you see Aaron Watson put up a Facebook post about you?
Oh.
And by the way, here is a clip of Aaron Watson out of style, just to familiarize with it. Here you go.
We're never going out of style. I was thinking, wow, the sun is sinking low. We could go all night.
And so Aaron Watson and I, and a lot has happened since then because we've become cool since. But we kind of got into a fight where we were sticking up for our own people. And we were like, don't mess with our people. And both of us have big personalities, but now I like the guy. We actually see each other and we'll text a little bit. But I get a message going, hey, did you see Aaron Watson's Facebook post about you? And I'm like, is he trying to start beef again?
Uh-oh.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But I pull it up and he goes, I'll read you this. Because it was so nice. So it's no secret that at Mr. Bobby Bones and I got off on the wrong foot a few years back. For a while, I'll admit, I wasn't much of a fan of Bobby, but that is no longer the case. I've crossed paths with him several times and we've become friends. Bobby does so much for country music and I admire the way that he uses his show to give back, his work ethic, his determination, his heart and his story are so inspiring. And he's a good dancer too, winky emoji. So, we release Red Bandana in 11 days. And the 11th track is called Live or Die Trying. And the entire song was inspired by Bobby and his book, Fail Until You Don't.
Wow.
So, yeah, right.
What?
So I read my book, a second book, and he said that's what it was inspired. I thought that was such a nice thing for him to write up. They didn't have to write that.
That's so nice and pretty cool that the song was inspired by your book.
And coolest, and this is what I want to say, and coolest that you don't have to always stay angry with people.
Right.
Because we definitely went at it in a way where, again, I don't think it was ever we didn't like each other. There was a misunderstanding. We both felt like that each other's teams were being attacked. And so as the leaders of both of our groups, we were like, don't do it. And then later on, we found out. And I was like, yeah, sorry, that was kind of a douche. And he was like, yeah, you know, but saw that last night, thought it was awesome of him.
Yeah, no, that is. It shows, growth and maturity.
Yeah,
like it.
So, well, I mean, I want him to come in anyway and whenever his album does come out. But I thought that was even nice to say that I inspired a song.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's girls that are bitter about me that have written songs so far.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I know there aren't many guys that have been inspired by you, but songs, yeah.
I didn't make out with him. So can I tell you like a really insider thing that I've been told about radio?
Yeah.
And I want our listeners to hear this because if you're new to the show, just in a brief nutshell about who I am, and if you're not new to the show, just bear with me for a second. You probably heard the story 10,000 times. I was born in Mountain Pine, Arkansas. The population is 722 people. I grew up in a 900 square foot house and in and out. There were a lot of people living there. I never had a bedroom growing up. I lived on the couch. I didn't have a lot. I was a food stamp kid, and I was my grandmother. When my mom left for a while because she had substance issues and later died from them in her 40s. But when my mom left, my grandmother was then my legal guardian. She legally adopted me. Then my mom came back, and that process kind of undid itself. However legally that happens. And I didn't discover it till later in life when I found a Social Security card with a new name on it. Because my grandmother never wanted to tell me that she had to adopt me because my mom left.
Yeah.
Like she... And so I come from super humble beginnings, but I think a lot of us do. And I think a lot of the people that listen to the show, I honestly feel like this show has been a success because I think that our people see me as their guy. And that's important to me, that I'm never not their guy. And I come from the same situation that a lot of people come from. And when I go that story, I don't say it like, woe is me. I say it like, hey, this is just our story. Like a lot of us do that. And I feel like now I have a big platform and I can speak for us. And I can go, hey, man, the little man's being held down. And this is my story and this is their story. How can we help? How can we get the word out? So all this is happening. And in the last 10 years or so, we went from a local radio show to a syndicated show a bit. You know, I started spending my own money investing in technology and trying to figure out how to do it. We got some markets. And the next thing you know, we're this humongous radio show. We've never been put together by a corporation. I hired all my friends. These are all people that have been with me in life. And some we're just not your typical radio show. And for those reasons, we're either loved or just hated because we don't do things like other people, mostly because we don't know how to do things like other people. I've said before many times that if I had a big radio voice, I would have just been a DJ talking up songs. The number three on the calendar. I wish I could have done that, but I couldn't. And because I couldn't, and I believe if you're not like others and you have to figure out ways around it, a lot of times it makes you better because you're not playing by the same playbook everyone else does. And I think that's where some real special stuff comes from. So that being said, like when I tell a story this morning about, I saw Tim McGraw 2 nights ago and he's like, hey, come up to my show. Like, I know Tim. I know Faith. But like the big bosses will be like, hey, you know, you really shouldn't act like you know these people now because it makes you feel out of touch with the listeners. And I have that weird, I'm walking this weird line of, do I lie to listeners? Like, that's really, do I lie and act like I don't know people? Do I not tell these stories from my life? Because I'm still the same person, but now living around them and befriending them. And honestly, a lot of it's come not from the radio show, but from me touring with a lot of these acts, going out on the road and playing and being with them on a Saturday through a Monday out on a bus. In those relationships form in a lot of those ways. And so I got a call and was like, hey, maybe you should stop saying that. You know, you've been over to Keith Urban's house. And I'm like, here's, and again, I could be wrong. And I just go, you know what? I think our listeners would rather me just tell the truth, even if it's not always the same life that they get to live, because I think they want me to be honest more than they want me to act like something I'm not, just to be the same kid from Arkansas. Because I am. But I feel like I can actually bring a lot of cool stories to the show because now I get to do things I never thought I would do. Like, I feel like I'm our listener who just now gets to do cool things and gets to report back. So it's this weird thing. So when I go, yeah, Tim was like, hey, come to the show. And I was like, cool. And I did. And it was amazing. I went and saw him before the show. Went saw Faith before the show. So that's the weird place that I'm in right now. Because, yeah, my life has changed a lot over the past few years. Now I have a network that's like, hey, come do a bunch of shows for us. Are you kidding me? I've been 13 years. I've been begging for anybody to give me a meeting, to give me a shot on small cable shows. And now I finally worked up to where they would give me little bitty shots on big shows. Then it's middle. And so I've been grinding so long and I just don't want to lie to our listener. I think that's what it all comes down to more than anything. And you listen, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. If you just want me to be like, yeah, won't share that story because I don't want to be out of touch. I just don't think I'm out of touch. I just think I'm the person that's super in touch that's also getting to bring cool experiences to the show. Does all that make sense?
Yeah. So this is your response to the call you got?
It's not even a response. It's I'm not sure what to do.
Okay.
Because I'm in this weird place.
I think
place.
You know what to do.
I know what I do, and I just try to be honest all the time. Right. And if people don't like it, then that's okay as long as I know it's my honesty. I don't think I'm ever right. I think I just know my story. And if I can, here's why I don't lie, because I can't remember it. I'd lie all the time if I could. I just can't remember it. I talk all the time. This show, podcasts, TV shows, interviews. If I were going to lie, I couldn't remember it. I would be like, blah, blah, blah. They were like, well, you didn't say that 3 days. And I was like, oh, crap, you're right. I'm not 6'5". So that being said, that's a little, it's very inside. But that was a thing. They're like, you know, maybe you shouldn't act like you're friends with all the country stars. I'm like, to me, they're not country stars. They're just buddies at this point. Amy, your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's fine for you to be transparent about what you're doing. And then, you know, to give this as an update to some people that may not know the full story and your whole story. Like, it's important for them to know how hard you've worked and where you've come from. And yeah, I think transparency is something that we do on this show. And you're just sharing, like you're sharing. You're not ever coming on like bragging. You're almost like... You shouldn't have to preface every time you talk about it, like, holy crap, I got to go right. do this because it was really awesome, because then that could get old. But every once in a while, just a refresher that like you, it's like these moments aren't lost on you. Like, you get it. You're not trying to be out of touch. You're just trying to share a cool story.
Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
It's even like when Eddie and I are band The Raging Idiots, thousands of people will come to our shows. And when I go like, you had a big show, a few thousand people showed up. So, it's like, should I remind everybody that Eddie and I used to drive around in a car and play for 7 people at restaurants trying to be funny and learn how to... And so maybe I could do a better job at both.
Yeah.
But that's the big corporate bosses going, hey, maybe you're too cool. And I'm like, no, I'm not cool at all. But I just want to be honest and share with my listeners, who are the most important people to me, my story. That's it. That's the end of this soap. But let me step off my Apple box here. But... So when you hear me, and I even have this button called name drop, which I know it's a goobery thing to do,
yeah.
But I feel like I should do it for the sake of the show. Like, I'll go, all right, here comes a name drop.
And name then, drop!
I'll be like, hey, guess what? Then I tell a story.
Yeah.
The end of this segment. That's all. Goodbye.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
These two sisters were playing at the apartment pool in Atlanta. One's 10, one's 3, when the 3-year-old jumps in and she gets stuck underwater because she goes through an inner tube. So she is face down under the water, can't get free. 10-year-old sister jumps in, grabs her, pulls the inner tube off, and drags her to safety.
Wow.
Saves her sister's life.
That's awesome.
10 years old. And luckily she didn't go down too. You know, they tell people that... More people drown trying to save people because they grab somebody who's struggling and they pull them down.
Yeah.
And Eddie, you were a lifeguard, huh?
I was, yeah. And they told us that too, because parents would do it and parents didn't know how to swim and they were in trouble.
Did you ever have to save anybody?
Yeah, I mean, did a double save one time.
Oh, that's right. This is his glory moment.
Did I tell you guys about that?
You did. You did many times, but go ahead.
You want me to tell you again?
You go ahead.
So it was a day just like this.
Oh, wow.
I'm sitting on the lifeguard stand and this little kid who gets on the diving board and he looks like maybe he could swim. He jumps in, he can't swim. Mom sees him, so mom jumps in trying to save him. So that's that scenario we're talking about. Mom doesn't know how to swim, so now both of them are like going down. I jump in, I get the kid in one arm, I get the mom in the other arm, and I swim back to shore. Safety.
Nice. Should teach Amy's son how to swim a little bit if he can't get through
the
class. If he needs swim tutoring, if he doesn't make it.
Yeah.
I'm available,
call
Amy.
Eddie. I know.
And if he goes down, he can save him. And if you go down, say he can double save.
That's right.
Look at that guy.
I know. Eddie, my husband was a fellow...
Lifeguard.
Oh, was he?
Mm-hmm.
Did he ever do double save, though?
I don't even know that he did any saves. I'm going to have to ask him.
You know what? You could have just said no to that. I felt like you didn't have to take that shot.
That wasn't a shot. At the neighborhood pool.
But you
like,
just,
I don't know that there was ever
like,
a moment.
I'm not sure if he's done any double saves, but instead she goes, I don't think you ever save anybody. I love that about you.
I'll ask him. There,
okay, let us know.
Okay. That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
If you were to go to the show's Twitter or Instagram account, you'll see that the A, B, and O's in our logo are missing. That's because the Red Cross needs blood donations. They're missing A, B, and O. You can make an appointment to get blood by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or redcrossblood.org. They need it. You can help out. Let me encourage you to please help out. Could be you that needs blood, and we're having to do this call for you. So I wanted to mention that. You know, we talked about in Tell Me Something Good, your son and swimming.
Yeah.
He's been well, he's small.
Yeah, he's small, and swimming something that's still fairly new. It's not like he's grown up doing it, and he's almost nine. So he still has to wear floaties, but he's, like, determined to pass his swim test. And so he's working really, really hard because he wants to be able to pass and swim in the YMCA pool with no floaties.
Do they card you and say, oh, sorry, you're too young?
No, but, I mean, once you just, like, respect the rules. I mean, obviously, you want to be safe, and I don't want him out there doing it either. Like, he needs to be able to pass, but, yeah. So, I mean, he's working hard, though. Like, I've never seen him, like, so determined. He's determined to grow every day, everything he eats. This is going to help me grow. And then at swim, he's, like, determined to pass the test.
And then how is he as a swimmer?
He's pretty good. Sashira is really good. She's fast.
Do they not in Haiti swim ever, even though there's water everywhere?
No. Mm-mm. Well, I mean, at the orphanage, they don't.
They don't take them to the beach or anything?
They rarely ever leave. They, like, church groups would visit, and I think Sashira and Stevenson got to go to the beach, like, once or twice over the time that I knew them, the 5 years that I was going. I mean, but that was, like, a rare thing. And even then, they're just kind of, like, playing in the beach. I mean, Haiti has some beautiful beaches. Like, it's kind of a shame, but yeah, no, they don't get that much experience. When they would come stay with us at the hotel in Haiti, we would kind of swim a little bit there. But, like, life in the orphanage for kids that don't have people visiting, no, they just hang out.
How good is he?
Landlocked. He's good. Like, he's getting there. I like that he's determined. So that's gonna get him where he needs to go. I'm kind of curious to see what they end up doing sports-wise. We're a year and a half in of them being home. So, yeah, I wonder, like, are they going to be runners? Do they want to be swimmers, dancers, football, volleyball? We don't know.
I wonder all that about myself still, too. Yeah, and I've been around for a while. Yeah. So what's the deal? So how has their demeanor changed in the past 6 months even?
6 months seems like it's running together. I would say in the last year, their demeanor is significantly different. It's been pretty steady the last year. The first 6 months, that's what I would describe as our rough phase. Like, it's a blur to me. It seems crazy. Like, their personalities were all over. Everybody was a hot mess. I'll just describe it as that because we were all adjusting to this new normal and we didn't know what it was. And there were so many emotions. But the last year, I'd say pretty even. So Shira's turning into quite the little helpful. I mean, we do have our moments because she's like 12 going on 16, but she's so helpful. And like, she was the one that was the most, that was so difficult in the beginning that I thought, oh my gosh, what have we done? And for the sake of her, because I didn't feel equipped to give her what she needed to survive here. And then now it's like, she's helping me survive. It's cool.
Do you guys talk about adoption?
Yes. Yes.
Like, it's an open thing with them where you're like, you get...
Totally open. If it comes up in a movie or other people talk about it, if we talk about their moms in Haiti, we pray for them every night, talk about meeting them one day or going to hang out with them when the time is right. So yeah, I try to keep that very open because that's their story. Like, I don't want to take, that's their life. And they had so much of their life in Haiti. This is their new life. I don't want to strip them of where they came from.
Has she told you she loved you yet?
No.
In words.
No, she did write it on paper at Sunday school, like, I love my mom, but I think all the kids had to write it. But still, she gave it to me.
So see, that's basically what girls are like when they date me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I don't say it, mm-hmm. but I do things like think it.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I say I love you every time I say goodnight, and she just goes, goodnight.
And what does Stevenson say, your son?
He'll say, I love you.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, oh, you know, I feel like he's a little bit more. It just makes me think, like, does he really even know what that means? And I think for Sashira, like, she knows what it means. And she's not there yet. She's not comfortable enough. But I'll say, you know that I love you. You know, and you know what that means. And she'll look at me and she'll say, yes.
And like, good night.
And then she's like, good night. Get out of my room.
I know what that means. And good night. So do you feel like they feel loved?
I hope so. I know that it's hard for them to feel that sometimes. Somewhere around the corner, like, there's that lingering feeling of abandonment. Always. I think they'll always struggle with that.
I was really thinking about your kids based on a segment we were doing yesterday where we were talking about how many times you fall in love in your life, which I think the answer was 7.
Yeah.
And I said, just very, very flippantly, and I didn't like, I still believe what I said. I didn't like how casually I just said it because I've really had some fantastic relationships. And I said, I've loved, but I've never been in love. And I still feel that way. But it's not because of the quality of girls that I had in my life, quality of women, girls, depending on what age I was. I think it's because I'm, for the, a lot of that same reason, not as severe, but a lot of those abandonment issues mm-hmm. with me, when everybody just bailed when I was a kid, you know, or my mom wasn't there because she was an addict and my dad left.
Yeah, it's a protective mechanism.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah. And I really spent some time thinking about that yesterday. We were on a plane for 11,400 hours. And I spent some time thinking about that yesterday. I was like, you know, because I didn't like how I came off. But I did say how I felt. So I was always good with that. But I was like, you know, I never said I've been in love. And I hope people's feelings weren't hurt by me saying that. And I just wanted to come on the air today and be like, you know why? It's because of me. It's because I have all of these issues of me being afraid to put myself out there. Because in my whole life, everybody just left. Especially my formidable years of like learning what relationships are.
Right. So
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Why would you want to attach yourself to someone else that might disappoint you and leave you and hurt you? Like, why? I get it.
And that's the inner feeling. But now my brain should pick up at some point. I've been through a lot of therapy. At least now I can acknowledge it. And that's why I think I'm a little more ready to kind of get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I can now admit that and go, oh, this is something I got to work on. And I see why I'm that way. So when I said that yesterday, it did come off a little douchey in that I said, I've never been in love. And we all laugh. We laugh about
right.
stuff.
And
we
it
do.
Makes me, I feel bad now too. I mean, obviously I know where you're coming from with it, but I definitely, we poke at you about it and make fun of you and laugh. And I mean, when you look deeper into it, it's like, okay, wow. I mean,
it's a vulnerability thing.
Disorder and that whole thing. It's a real thing.
Because I have felt, and I don't feel this way now, because I'm dipping my toe and at least, you know, getting there to where it's maybe even my ankle at this point. Like, I do feel good about where I am now in my life. But it's, if I go and just, and like, admit to myself, oh, I'm so giddy, I really want this person, I'm so scared they're going to bail and leave, because that's what's happened so many times through my childhood.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from. Not quality of any of my relationships. And I didn't want it to come off that way yesterday. And you know what? Nobody reached out to me about it either. It wasn't like an ex-girlfriend called and said, hey, that's rude.
There was something you realized listening
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I didn't mm-hmm. listen back. It's just something I oh. felt when I got... I don't listen back to the show.
Oh, I thought... Well, I didn't know.
You ever heard this show? It's a bunch of idiots talking around a table.
Sometimes you have to listen back for certain things. I thought maybe you heard it back for whatever reason.
No, I didn't
okay,
hear back.
Interesting.
But I feel that way.
Yeah.
And but then I think about your kids and it's like times many...
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about you and I know, and even I can tell you this, even with like, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but with Eddie's foster kids, there are times where we'll talk about, and I'm not going to give me examples specifically, but you know, they have their obstacles they're trying to get over. And maybe Eddie and his wife don't understand why.
Right.
And I'll be like, oh, Eddie, here's why. And I feel like I hope that's helpful to you, Eddie, and
it
you know,
is.
With them. Because Eddie will go, I don't understand why this foster kid does X, Y, or Z. I'm like, well, Eddie, let me tell you, as someone who kind of was similarly in that situation, this is how I felt, and I hope that helps you.
It's very helpful because, I mean, it's not like I never thought that, you know, everyone that kind of has the same kind of background would have the same kind of issues later, but there's really a lot of similarities, and it's like, I mean... It explains a lot whenever you do that, and it personalizes it for me. So I'm like, oh, okay, I get that now. My wife and I will talk about it, and it helps tremendously.
But by the way, I got a great life. I got a few good friends. I got an exercise bike. What else do I need?
Not much.
I guess we're going to do a blood test on the air.
Yeah, to find out our blood type. Because
so,
we don't know it.
We just got this given to us. But by the way, the Red Cross needs blood donations. They're missing blood types A, B, and O, and you could really save someone's life. And Amy has this thing where you prick your finger. I'm not pricking my finger.
Nope, but that's how else are we going to get the blood?
Can you lick my finger? Is
no.
there any way we can do a taste test?
No, I have to prick it. But I have a tool.
Okay, you can make an appointment by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, find the one nearest you. Mike, are you pricking her finger or is she pricking it for herself?
I mean, I want somebody else to prick me because I don't.
And how long does it take to find your blood type?
I think like 40 seconds.
Okay.
But then we have to be able to read the results. I mean, I think the results come through in 40 seconds, but then, you know, I'm not a doctor. So I'm like looking at, I know, shocking, or
okay.
a nurse.
Let's
but
do
I'm
this.
Looking at all the images.
You gonna prick her?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we technically...
Can you, like, prick my buttocks? Because there's less sensitivity there.
Blood?
Yeah, can you get buttocks blood?
I don't really get blood from there.
Okay. Amy, hand down.
Okay. Do you know how to use that?
Look at me, though, Amy.
Do you know how to use that?
Why are you going to yell at him? He's never done this before.
Well, don't touch it on your finger. I just cleaned my finger. You have to be sanitary.
You're going
to
mix bloods. Okay, are we ready? You guys be blood brothers. You can put your blood together.
I feel like I'm supposed to put water on my... So, yes, I'm basically ready.
All right, here we go. Amy's now going to...
Prick me!
Amy, don't look at it, though. Look at me. Hey, Amy, look at me. You know what's funny about yesterday?
No,
no stop.
There you go.
Did it go?
Amy screamed and then goes,
Did it go?
I think you have to, like...
Oh, shoot. I have to do it. Just hold on.
Why do you have to do it?
Ah! Did it!
Did it hurt?
Ah! Got it. Go. Hold on. I gotta get my blood out. Excuse me.
All right, give me that thing. Not the same one. I won't get Amy's, whatever she has. Because let me tell you.
Wait.
Did it work or no?
So do I, just... I need more blood.
How do I... It's like a vampire. How do I do this? Just push the back end of it?
Yeah, just go for it. It's actually kind of fun, though.
No, it doesn't sound fun. Mike, what? Just push the back end of this?
Yeah, push it towards your finger.
Right here? Is it going to hurt?
It's this.
There you go.
So just push it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. It's not going.
Gotta, like, push,
you have to
push.
Really push. You'll know.
What am I, having a baby? You're really, okay.
And then the blood will start coming.
Are you bleeding?
Oh, yeah. Like, I wasn't at the beginning, and now it's
she's
just
bleeding
like
out.
Losing blood.
We need shocker stat. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's play Kenny Chesney. I'll come back. I got to do that. I'm not going to do it on the air. Can you play it? Can you do it?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, we're trying to do this so our listeners know we're doing it, too.
Yes, so we can donate blood.
Okay, hold on 1 second. The
Bobby Bones Show.
Well, I pricked my finger. Amy pricked her finger. There's blood everywhere in the room. Mostly we don't know what we're doing. But we're going to find our blood type. A, B, and O are missing, and so we want to come on and actually put blood down ourselves and see what our blood types are. I don't know what my blood type is at all. So
me neither.
Mike D is literally working on both of our hands with blood and just hoping that we're clean, right?
Uh-huh.
Our blood's clean.
I trust you.
Yeah, like no swine flu, nothing like that. So listen, A, B, and O, they're looking for it. If you guys can give it, that'd be great. Let me mention a couple other things real quick. I do have a TV show I've not been able to say that I'm going to be on, but I said if I got 1 million followers today, I would reveal it on Instagram Live. And right now, I'm at 994,000, so 6,000 away, and I'll throw it up there.
Wow, okay.
You know what it is.
So close, yeah.
And it's would you say it's crazy?
It's crazy.
Crazy. Thank you very much.
Can't believe it, crazy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is? Eddie and I do impressions that nobody knows except us.
That guy you like that died that maybe isn't dead.
Ooh. Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, Latka on Taxi. Thank
mm-hmm.
you very much.
Yeah. I used to watch Taxi.
We were talking about you backstage during CMA Fest because Eddie and I just do bits with no microphone. We just are like being funny, bouncing off each other.
Yeah.
And some of our friends were back there and they're like, do you guys do this all the time? I said, we do it so much. Amy goes, is this for on air? Because if not, I got to go pee.
Yeah.
Like, Amy gets so annoyed that Eddie and I are just over here, like, not even working bits on each other. We just think each other's funny. So we're just going back and forth. And Amy's like, is this for the show? Because if not, guys, I'm going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
It's funny. Okay. Everyone, thank you for listening today. The shows that we watch, that's going to happen in a second. We got a whole list of new shows we've been watching. We'll talk about that. And again, if you can donate blood, A, B, and O, the Red Cross is missing those types of blood, and they need it.
And I think it's so true. Like, you donate blood, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, if someone that you know is in need, then you show up and you donate blood. But we've got to be more proactive about it.
Yeah, because it may be us in need.
And intentional because of, like, being, like, getting ahead of it and helping someone out there that we may... not know, because one day it might be us or it might be a loved one that needs more.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just show up when, you know.
Agree with
that.
And
I'm talking to myself, too.
Me, too. But we just pricked our fingers. We're ourself.
Yeah, we did.
I'm so masculine right now.
You want to be, no, this isn't encouraged. Never
mind. What, blood brother and sister?
And that, with, like, back in the day.
You want to match bloods?
Kids. Yeah, because both were sitting here with our fingers bleeding. But no, we don't encourage that.
Tomorrow we'll talk about church camp. Amy's daughter's going to church camp for the first time.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, you need to watch out for this. We'll talk about that. I was a big church camp kid. I mean, loved it. It shaped a lot of my youth. And the great thing, if I can just say this, that I couldn't afford to go to church camp, but people stepped up and paid like a scholarship for me to go to church camp. And I thought that was so cool. Mm-hmm. That I think you can probably do that through your churches too.
Yeah,
you can ask.
Maybe ask and
go,
see.
Hey, is there anyone? Because I never wanted to be called out for being poor. So if anyone was like, hey, we know you're poor, I was like, no, I'm not. I don't want anything you're giving me. But like on the sly, they were like, hey, we're going to pay for your church camp. And it really was a big deal to me in my life.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage you to go if when you're at church, say, hey, is this happening?
Just
is
there any way pastor
that I can even not know who the kid is? Mm-hmm. And just
what are the needs?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I may even check with our youth pastor and see about current kids, because this camp, church camp just isn't, it's camp. Like, it's not cheap. But I guess when you're a kid, or for me, like my mom, she would just take care of it. So it's interesting to hear your perspective too, because now as a parent, I'm like, whoa, like I know that. I mean, I feel fortunate we're able to do it, but there's some families that may not be able to. So that's a good reminder.
Let me know too about your church. That's
okay.
What they say.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's that. But we'll do that tomorrow in case you're thinking about you want to join us tomorrow.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Eddie finally saw that documentary, Free Solo. You've seen it, right, Amy?
Yeah, it's so good.
So good.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, right?
Like, it's just, I didn't know people like that existed.
This dude just climbs, like, the biggest thing with no harnesses.
Yeah, free.
Like, that's his goal. Yeah, it's like a free solo.
Like, he could die.
Yeah.
And there's no rope holding him up.
You gotta watch it. And you liked it.
I did. I really, really liked it. And then after the end of the movie, I was like, man, that was really good. And the first thing I thought was like, Bobby said that was better than Avengers.
Yeah, because it was real. It was true.
Still don't believe that.
Come on.
Not as good as Avengers, but really good.
What do you give it?
Oh, 4 out of 5 rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave it 5 out of 5. I thought it was that good. No, I think Eddie was just a hater.
You think it's the movie of the year.
No, I just like documentaries because I feel like I learned something. Like, I come out of them going, I'm a little bit better of a person because I just spent time watching that.
And you probably related a lot to that guy.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Like, dude, it's almost like your twin.
Wait, why? Why do you say him and I are like?
A number of things.
Go ahead.
One, he's very strange. Like, he's just a strange person.
But what do you mean in relationship to me? Because our listeners, if they're new, are going, why is Bobby strange?
Just a unique individual, not like anyone else you would meet. You're very unique.
In what way?
Just a bunch of different ways. Okay. Socially, you're unique. You're not very, I don't know, just you're unique
okay,
in that
go
way.
Ahead.
Second, he's driven. This guy had his mind on something, and he got it done. That's you.
Okay.
You put your mind to something, you get it done. You want to win Dancing with the Stars? You win it. Like, that's you. And then third, his girl situation. like, he's got a beautiful, hot girlfriend that loves him. And he's just like, I would leave her in a second if she got in the way of me rock climbing.
Basically.
It's like, what?
She's almost like, she's like, so, I mean, he's about to go, like, risk his life. And she's like, so is there anything that you want to stay back for that's keeping from it? And he's like looking at her in the face. And he's like, nope.
That reminds me of me.
Yeah, yes. A lot.
Oh, you too. You going to jump in on this?
Well, yeah, now that he says it. Yeah, like basically, I mean, it'd be like if a girl was saying anything to you about your career and was like, okay, are you sure you want to do this? Because this could end our relationship.
Like,
and
then
you would be like, nope.
He was even doing like some practice runs. He got hurt because she dropped the rope or whatever, let it go. And he was pissed at her.
Yeah.
He
of
was
course.
So mad at her. Just like, I never fell before until she came around.
Mm-hmm. She distracted him.
Well, it's called Free Solo. I loved it. Who hasn't seen it in the room? Raymundo's only one?
Oh, Ray, you now you have
it.
To watch
Morgan
it.
Number two hasn't, right?
Oh, you'd like it too. Yeah.
Oh.
So Free Solo's good. Amy, you finally watched the David Letterman on Netflix?
I did. With Kanye West. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I've seen. But I hadn't seen any of those episodes that he has for that show. Like, what is it called?
My next guest needs no introduction.
That's it.
Yeah.
So the Kanye one was really good. I only watched it because you said it was awesome.
Wasn't the mental health stuff pretty?
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Because I guess I really didn't. I don't pay that much attention to Kanye and what's going on in his life for whatever reason, but it does explain a lot about why he's done what he's done, and then kind of how, you know, TMZ just kind of portrays it as like he's just this crazy off his rocker person, but really, you know, he's like dealing with a lot, and he was probably on a high at the time, like manic.
Yeah, it's wild, mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, if I'm gonna go through this and have to expose how people have, you know, different things happen to them or are put in such a negative light, then I'll do it. And
right, I'll be the voice of that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's really good. You'll like the Ellen one, too.
Mm-hmm. The teaser came on for that next, but then I was too tired, so went to bed.
I watched Dead to Me on Netflix. I started that.
So good, right?
Yeah, I'm like 4 episodes in. It's got Christina Applegate and some other girl who's super funny. But I accidentally hit play because it looks like a total chick show. And I'm a total chick anyway.
But it's very Pretty Little Lies-ish.
But it's, like the vibe. It's a comedy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good.
You liked it?
Yeah,
yes.
It's good.
I'm done with it.
And they're 30-minute episodes.
Okay. Yeah, you can watch it fast.
And then I watched 2 episodes of Black Mirror.
Oh, the new Black Mirror.
Miley Cyrus is in one of the episodes.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I want to say, Mike, have you watched them yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, I've watched 2 episodes.
Do you like the 2?
I just liked it. Even the episodes I don't like, I come away going, oh, yeah, it's probably going to happen.
Okay, not one have you watched and you've been like, oh, that's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but they're always, Black Mirror is all about technology and where things could go. They're all ridiculous.
It's like a Twilight Zone kind
of? Sort of, like with technology.
Yeah. Speaking about ridiculous things that happen, did you watch any Handmaid's Tale?
No, the whole season's not out yet.
Well, 3 episodes. I thought they were doing 1 episode at a time, so I watched the first one and it rolled into the second one. I was like, Hulu, what's happening? But they released 3, and then this week they'll release fourth one.
Mm-hmm. I want to get like 5 or 6 deep
so you can binge.
So I can jump in.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, some good stuff out of here. I want to check it out. We'll put it all up on our Facebook page, stuff that we're watching.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Hey, hey, ho, ho. We got to go. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Amy, what's up?
Nothing. Just going to be hanging out here with you a little bit.
Yeah, we're in New York today. I'm leaving here and going to an awards ceremony, which they said, hey, will you come present and host a couple awards for the CEO and CFO of our company? And I was like, sure. They're like, hey, can you write some jokes? I'm like, I got 4 hours.
Well, hey, you're good at what you do. You need some help? I got jokes.
I walk up with a bunch of cornies. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
So I have that. Dan and Che are going to perform, which would be cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that. And then I have a bunch of meetings because we're just pitching TV shows to people. So while I was here, I was like, okay, cool. So I got meetings with like a bunch of network people, which is cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
They'll probably say no, but it's always no, no, no before you finally get a yes.
Yeah.
Everywhere in my life, it's no, 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 no. Okay. So I'm trying to get through the no's to get to that okay. So I fully expect to get rejected every meeting today. Then we have a client meeting tonight with a bunch of clients here in New York. And that's where you're going to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when I'll finally see you again.
When can I see you again?
Yeah.
And then my friend Nikki Glazer is doing comedy tonight. And I may go watch her later tonight.
Oh, cool.
So she was like, hey, come to a set. Because she does like 10 sets a night, all these different clubs. She just drives around to sets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
How long are sets?
Well, if it's our whole special, like she's doing a Netflix special, that's 1 hour. But she'll pop in and do like a 15-minute set. Just work material.
Oh, cool.
So that's what's happening with me. Amy, you?
I don't know. I'm just going to be, I guess, keeping myself busy. I have zero TV pitches today.
I know.
If you need help with jokes, let me know. I'll just be around getting some work done. I have some stuff I need to edit for my podcast, so I'll probably work on that.
Great.
I know. I'll be working for sure.
Let me recommend the Caroline Hobby podcast, Get Real. There's a fantastic episode with Lainey Hayes, Walker Hayes' wife, where it's super funny about Walker, and it also they talk about when they lost their last baby. And
yeah.
I mean, it goes from funny to super emotional to, it's a great podcast. Get Real with Caroline Hobby. And don't forget, when I get 1 million Instagram followers, I'm going to reveal what TV show that I'm going on. And I'll do that on Instagram Live.
Nice.
Whenever it happens, either today or tomorrow or the next day. So my Instagram name is Mr. Bobby Bones. Lunchbox, what's up today?
Oh, I'm going to take a long nap, and then The Bachelorette is on tonight. So, Hannah B., I got my popcorn ready. I'll be watching.
All right, there we go. Thank you all so much for being here. You can be anywhere in the world, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that. We will see you on, what's tomorrow, Wednesday?
Yep.
Yeah, dang. All this CMA Fest and traveling, I don't even know what planet we're on. We'll see you on Wednesday. Bye, everybody.
The Bobby Bones Show.